You know, with me experiencing being a transformation coach, I've discovered that people really want to be better. And a lot of times people are not shown the way, but they're thrown into the way. Of any sorts, we have to meet people right there, right where they are. That's the only way we'll be able to really push for effective change. We really want to be better, and we gotta help each other get there, y'all,
because the world needs to see it.
Welcome to another episode of Ray Bridging Humans. It's the place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see it. What's up, family? What's up, y'all? Glad y'all came back for another episode. And yeah, you see, the person you see sitting across from me again, this is Kelly Harris. We're back for a part two. I've gotten so many comments, Kelly, on the episode that we recorded. And I'm so thankful. Thank you for just gracing the platform with your presence again. Mm-hmm. And just where we are and what's happening and what's going on in the world. How you feeling today? How you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Just finished my first semester.
Yes.
In this humanistic psychology program. Feels good to study along some of the world's experts in the field and to know that I'm right up there with them.
Yes.
Ahead of a lot of them. I really am. But I just finished up, and this is a true story. I'll let you hear when the podcast is over.
Mm-hmm.
My professor, my final, she said, I don't even know if I know how to grade this. It's off the rubric, like it's so rich. And that's because I have the experience that I have, you know. So mm-hmm. that was really good. And finishing up my research project, and I signed with a publisher.
Wow.
My book.
Wow.
And that was inspired by this podcast.
Yes, wow.
So I'm self-publishing because my voice is different and I want to keep that.
Yes.
So this publishing company is helping me to self-publish. So
yes.
That's something that I'm very concentrated on. I have not returned a lot of phone calls and over the camera and talking to people because I'm focused.
Yes.
And I'm doing me. That's what I'm doing.
Yes, I love it. I love to see it. And y'all, forgive me. I want to say on camera, forgive me for the last episode. She said she was fine with it, and I was like, okay. But I want to make sure y'all see her face. She's a beautiful woman. She's a bright soul, and I want to make sure you guys see her because I'm glad we was able to do it in the daylight now. So I mean, it's brighter, and then people can see you, Kelly. I want people to see you to make sure they hear you. And we wanted to do a follow-up episode to the last episode we did, and when we, like, I don't know if you guys even paid attention to how I did the format, but Kelly and I, we recorded that episode probably over a month ago now.
Yeah,
a month ago. And mm-hmm. when I originally watched it, I was like, okay, I wanted to get some more perspectives in, just so people can see, you know, we listen and we've heard and we've seen and we've experienced things. And so we got other episodes in. Shout out to everybody who came on, Pastor Kenya, Pastor Courtney, Samaj. Thank y'all so much for coming on. And I wanted to come back and to bring you on because I know your perspective is a perspective that people don't get to hear a lot.
Right.
They don't hear a lot. And I know just overall this year, 24 for me, this year has been a birthing year for me,
right,
if you will, with since we left the program with you, for where I'm going. And a lot.
So when you left the program, it was shedding. it was shedding.
Yes.
Like your work was probably one of the truest catharsis that I've ever seen.
Wow.
People say things are cathartic. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what they mean is you have an ab reaction to it, like a strong reaction. Catharsis is that reaction is so deep and something broke.
Wow.
And you felt it.
Wow.
Church terms, you call it deliverance.
Wow.
But when you get a true cathartic experience like you had, you don't have to go back.
Yeah.
You don't have to get re-delivered.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Yes.
so at that catharsis, I think you went through the shedding of a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Wow. If that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. And I know, like, I just even us, how we have gotten close and just us sharing space now, like just you have, like, indirectly just guided me through a lot of this. Just me being able to get things off my chest and talk to you, just sitting down and talking care. So I feel peace. Mm-hmm. I feel peace has come over me. And I'm just so thankful that we can share this moment. And so we actually, we're going to move. I thought you were going to say something. Okay. Yeah. So I wanted to say, if you have not shared or liked the podcast, please share and like this podcast with somebody in your family, somebody who you know, who you probably be a little afraid to that they won't be able to take this. Send it to them anyway. Tell them Raymond sent you. Raymond sent it to them. But we started out talking about church hurt and just kind of dissecting what that looks like. And a lot of things that you expressed, Kelly, on the last episode, a lot of people, you know, I got a whole lot of comments. A lot of people like, damn, like I just didn't know, like, I didn't see it from that perspective. Yeah. The whole, like the pastor being like the father, he replaced their father figure in your life. And just a lot of the things that you shared, and I think the compassion piece, the walking compassion piece was like the thing. Yeah. That was the thing that a lot of people kind of brought back to me. And I just want to tell you, that was great. And so we won't harp on church hurt this episode. And we didn't do it. We just had to get a lot of stuff out. Right. And a lot of people saw your passion. A lot of people felt your passion. Yeah. And so this episode, I wanted to bring her back. She wanted to come back. I wanted to bring her back. So it was mutual. And we just kind of wanted to just land it the way it should be. And I'm just excited that you decided to come back again, Kelly. Right. So there's no questions. This episode, we just want to freestyle. We're going to freestyle because I know that the words that come out of your mouth, they're rich and they need to be heard, Kelly. Yeah, thank you. So I honor you and I honor your experience right now. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful. Fresh off this marathon, Kelly. Ran the half marathon this past weekend. Gosh, I was a little afraid because I hadn't trained the way that I know I normally train, but I did get some training in. And so I was a little anxious, but when I got out there, I felt a whole lot was coming up for me.
Now, anxiety always subsides in the face of action.
Yes, God.
You put action to anxiety,
yes,
it goes down.
Yes.
You know, we build it up about the phone call, about this and that.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
You put action to anxiety.
Calm it down.
It calmed down.
Uh-huh. And what was coming up for me was gratitude.
Yeah.
It was coming up for me. And I felt it. I felt the kids. I felt the families. Mm-hmm. And side note, but it's on topic with what I'm talking about. This year, I'm so much more spiritually aware.
Right.
Kelly, and I feel a lot. Mm-hmm. I feel a whole lot now. Right. And I hear a lot.
Because the performance is gone.
Gosh.
You know, the performance is gone. And that's my fear with society. We perform so much to we're numb.
Yes.
We're numb. And when you stop feeling,
yes,
we're in trouble.
Yes.
You know, so you do feel the pain. You feel, and you can't selectively numb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we numb, it keeps us from being hurt.
Yes.
And it does keep out the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it also numbs the good stuff as well.
Yes.
People can stay numb, but they die a lot of times lonely, old, and alone.
Because mm-hmm.
you protected your heart so much.
Mm-hmm.
But you get healthy enough to, I don't want it. I'm thawing out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's beautiful.
Yes.
It really is. It's beautiful to do so.
And the thaw out, it is so important.
Yes.
The thaw out is so important.
Yes.
Something that you said a lot over the course of the year is that Memphis don't have a crime problem. We have a numbing problem.
Yeah.
And a lot of people walking around so numb, Kelly. Right. Just right. Walking around numb. And I see that.
Yeah.
I see that now. And so the thawing out is good. Thawing out. But and running that race, I'm going to tell you. I put this on the what you call it I made, the reel that I made, but I had never broke down in tears like I did like this race. I was running. I was almost done with the race. I ran past the sign. I was like a mile 11 going toward 13. And I ran past a sign that says, it said, smile. Jake always did. And then maybe a few feet up, it was a picture of Jake smiling. Oh, Kelly, that messed me up. Yeah. That messed me up.
In the most beautiful way, though.
Yeah. I was like, wow. But Jake, Jake always smiled. And so Jake, apparently, he's not here anymore, of course.
He's
but
not on this side.
He's not on this side.
He's not on this side.
Yeah. But that messed me up, Kelly. I was like, yes, smile. Yeah. Smile. Absolutely. Keep going. So, yeah, anyway, that was my experience this weekend. What did you do this weekend?
Worked. We had a death in our family.
Oh, thank you. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, which is hard. And I texted a few people. And I was thinking, I mean, you asked me the question. My cousin is on the other side. So when I hear people passing away, with the way he was shot, from what I'm told.
Oh, wow.
My heart grows heavy for the family. My heart grows heavy for the mom, that my aunt, my great aunt, that had, because I know what she's got to go through. And normally, that's where I would be available in a professional sense. But I'm at a place now that I really don't have a lot to give. And I don't feel guilty, because I'm not doing anything wrong. That's emotional literacy. But because I don't entertain that false guilt, I have a lot of sorrow. And false guilt covers the sorrow.
Yeah.
But there's the sorrow. I feel not sorry. I feel sad, deep sadness.
Okay.
That we live in a world like this.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And so with that, I didn't force myself to go. I just took care of myself. I really took care of myself.
I'm so glad. And that also, you have preached that to me too this year. And I'm just kind of rounding out my year, but take care of yourself. And y'all, I encourage y'all, take care of yourself when you're faced with challenges, when you're faced with life. And I know the term people say now, life be life, and life is life. And take care of yourself. You have to in every situation, in every circumstance you face. Take care of yourself because if you're not okay, nobody else around you is okay. So you can, you know, we're so used to helping everybody else, putting everybody else.
And it's a lie. It's a lie. That's what I, and I'm proud of myself. Because to perform yes when everything in you says no.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a lie.
Wow. Yes.
To show up and become the thing.
Yes.
When I know I don't want to, when I know I don't feel like it, when I know I cannot afford it.
Yes.
It's not real.
Wow.
And whenever we perform yes and we really mean no, somebody's got to get punished for that.
And it is.
Meaning I'm gonna punish myself. I'm gonna holler at the kids.
Wow.
I'm gonna kick the dog, the cat.
Wow.
Because I could have just said no.
Wow.
But no is the scariest word in the English language.
It's so scary.
We don't like to hear it. We don't like to say it because it signifies an ending. That if I say no, then it's done.
Wow.
But I'll say, and I've said this before, if you have a relationship that can't handle you saying no, it ain't real in the first place.
It ain't real.
It's really, I mean, it's not real.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't say no. I just performed. I said I don't feel like talking. And you know, I'm okay with that.
I love that, Jules. You keep dropping them. You gonna drop them every time. She gonna drop them every time. But Kelly, that and my no has gotten stronger this year. It's gotten much stronger. Yeah. And so much bull, if you will. I get through the clutter.
Yeah.
Get through the clutter. And I said, no, Raymond, no, you don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to. So that's good.
And so whenever you find yourself have to, should, ought, and must, you are satisfying something external.
Wow.
You know, you're trying to dodge external judgment. I have to do it. I ought to do it. I should do it. That's not you internally.
Wow.
Because internally, you're going to want to choose you and take care of yourself.
Yes.
Internally, you don't want to rest. I'll never forget when I realized, it may sound a little gross, but holding my pee.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Knowing I got to go to the bathroom, but I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to keep doing this, keep doing that. Look at what I'm doing to myself.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm harming me.
Right.
So I got to look at me. I mean, you can't take time to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Which really shows, sorry, people just.
You can, no, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine, girl.
It's how you feel about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really, it's such a sense of unworthiness when we overgive.
Yeah.
And show up big and neglect ourselves.
Wow.
You know, we want to be seen as worthy from the outside.
From the outside.
From the outside.
From the
and
outside.
And so learning to do that for yourself is, I mean, it's a whole different ballgame.
Wow. And taking that piece to the conversation, I know we wanted to transition this episode to kind of go into church help.
Yeah. Right. Because a big part of my book is and I always come up with, Source comes up with these formulas.
Yes.
That to continue to talk about the church hurt, it leaves us in the woundedness of things. And I think the path to wellness is wounded, being willing. You have to be willing to be well. And the hope is that you get to the point that you wow yourself. Like,
wow.
I'm at a place now, I wow myself. Like,
wow.
But to continue to focus on the hurt, then you're going to have to force to look at what your role was in it.
Wow.
Now, this is a shadow work, and I love shadow work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about how the church hurt us and let us down and didn't do what they were supposed to do. First of all, they're made up of people.
Yes.
People that are wounded.
Yes. Yes.
Some know that they are wounded and some, you know, don't believe that they are wounded.
Mm-hmm.
But did nobody put a gun to my head or your head and say stay?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody said stay. For real.
We got to look at what we co-signed too, what we went along with.
Wow. Wow.
We knew we were following leaders that weren't worthy to be leaders. What was our role in that?
And I think that a lot of times we'll kind of spiritual bypass and say, well, God ain't told me to leave yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God ain't said go yet, so I'm going to stay and I'm going to stick. No, no.
So then the secondary gain, what am I getting out of staying?
Wow.
That's different for everybody.
Wow.
What am I getting out of staying? If what I'm getting out of it, just to, you know, talk crap about the pastor, if that's okay, then that's what you're gonna get.
Yeah, that's what you're gonna get.
I mean, that's your payoff.
Mm-hmm.
Is it community that I'm getting out of?
Mm-hmm.
That I want to be in this environment? I mean, just tell the truth.
Yeah.
Or you want to be with people that look like they're doing worse than you.
Wow.
So you can say, well, at least I'm not doing that. At least I'm not like so and so. Your bank account didn't get no bigger just because you think that?
Just because you think that. It didn't
put her down doesn't raise you up.
Right.
Actually, if you know, putting her down, that indictment is on you.
Mm-hmm.
But again, focusing on where church gave me my moral compass.
Yes.
It gave me the desire to want to do right, to want to treat people right.
Mm-hmm.
In my own life, though, when I say church and Christianity, it really is my floor for spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Not my ceiling.
Your floor.
That's where I started.
Yes.
You know, nobody can ever take Jesus from me.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. Not even the church.
Ever. Can't take him.
Not even the church.
Can't take him away from me.
And so even in my awakening, what I kept seeing was Jesus basically at the gate, knowing I'm restless and allowing certain new thought speakers in.
Wow.
Like, because see, man, Jesus is good like that. Ain't nothing getting ready to get me.
Yes.
You know?
Wow.
But then even looking at, and then so church becoming training wheels to me riding a bike. Like, I don't need training wheels no more.
Yes.
I'll forever be grateful. And for the people that are there, that's what they need. I once needed that too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't look I look at it with sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sorrow again means I'm helpless.
Mm-hmm.
I want to protect the church so badly.
Yeah. And Kelly, that's where a lot of people sit. And I think that something to you, what you just said, when you let different things in, that they automatically count it as the devil,
right.
Or they automatically count it as not right because they don't understand.
Because they don't understand.
They don't understand it.
Yeah.
And when you let things in to your understanding, to your learning, I think that that can only, and like you said, nobody can take Jesus away from you. Mm-hmm. You haven't left Jesus, but you increase in your understanding of life, right, of humans, of this world.
And then realizing, it's so what happened for me in my anthropology class, so me being so passionate about mental health, you know, mm-hmm, me wanting to open University of Mental Health, and that will come into fruition.
Yes.
So as I'm praying over that, mm-hmm, Christian informed prayer over the University of Mental Health, mm-hmm, I'm frustrated because mm-hmm, all I'm thinking is, I don't know why God gave me this dream when the world finna end anyway. The world will end. You know, mm-hmm, this is my attitude.
Wow.
The world will
wow
end anyway.
Wow.
You know, the world will catch on fire. You know, and I'm. So the anthropology professor said, what thought do you have to suspend to make something else true?
Wow. Wow.
I have to suspend the thought that the world will end anyway. If I suspend that thought, mm-hmm, I can consider some other ways of thinking.
Wow. Wow.
That was probably a year before Caleb's accident.
Really? Wow.
That's when I started. And then even looking back over my career, I suspended Christianity all the time based on the client that was sitting in front of me. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget a client. I was working inpatient, and I got off the elevator, and there was, on the women's unit, there was a lesbian client talking to another one. They were arguing. Mm-hmm. Kelly's not a Christian. Yes, she is. Kelly's not a Christian. So the lesbian client, my mother is a Christian. There's no way Kelly can be. She's too nice to me.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
I remember getting off work after 5, bringing her down to my office because mm-hmm, then we could talk about religion. I remember saying to her, like I said to so many clients and patients that struggle with their sexuality, I remember saying, I dip from the same well of grace every day. Not from my sexuality, but I dip from the same well of grace.
Yeah.
The God that I know sees sin and he sees grace.
Yeah.
There is no way I could say that you're worse than I am because of who you mm-hmm choose to love. Mm-hmm. Now, Raymond, I don't know where this is coming from out wow of my mouth because I'm a part of a church that mm-hmm mm-hmm that's sending folks to hell.
Hey, like, yeah, like you're going.
But I'm thinking, no, I'm right here with real mm-hmm brokenness, and the mm-hmm church would probably know what to do with this brokenness right mm-hmm here. So this is, you know, coming out of my mouth like, no, Jesus loves you. I don't care what nobody tell you.
Wow.
I don't care what anybody tell you. There's nothing you can do to get rid of that.
Wow.
You know, but again, for her to say, she's not a Christian because she's nice to me. I'm used to Christians being mean to me.
Wow.
I'm just like, oh my God.
Wow.
Now, the same treatment center, another kid, white boy, I had mm-hmm on my caseload, mm-hmm, then tore up the cafeteria fighting.
Okay.
Because they don't believe in Jesus.
Wow.
If you're in such a way, God ain't you, not yeah Jesus. Like,
you not Jesus.
So, well, then wow you got this anger because you're defending something that you don't believe.
Wow. Wow.
So you're willing to fight everybody because they don't believe like you believe. Because I'm so secure in Jesus, I can accept where you are.
Mm-hmm. And I think that so many people, they're used to using Jesus as however, whatever kind of big monster that can use him as, and this is what he's for because he's for right that for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna make him that for you, and yeah this is what he is for us. And no, like no, that's yeah so crazy. Yeah. That's so crazy.
And it's been beautiful rediscovering, you yes know, my relationship, yes, you know, with Jesus, with Source, with the divine,
yes, yes,
with you know, just the Creator.
Yes.
Again, just through nurture, through, as you said, Jake always smiles.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that wasn't the Holy Ghost. That was right, the right time. I mean, you get
goodness, what I'm saying. Yes, yes.
And I remember reading one of my favorite books, The Shack. It was another part.
Oh, I love that. I love
and,
Shack.
And the
yeah
part that, and I'm going to summarize this, paraphrase mm-hmm this, mm-hmm, of how we make God an expectation, mm-hmm, a noun, a thing.
A thing.
When God really is a God of expectancy, you never know
wow
how
wow
he or she is coming.
Yes.
the rehearsal of church reduces it to expectation. Mm-hmm. You can predict how every service is going to go. Mm-hmm. You can mm-hmm. predict what the preacher's going to say. You already know it to the end. Mm-hmm. That's boring. That's monotonous.
Yeah.
That's it's dead.
Yeah.
It is dead. There's no life. There's no life in that.
No.
There's nothing experiential about that. That I can only experience God through this person mm-hmm. that's talking to me through his lived experience.
Yeah, through his lived experience.
Yeah. He's a filter. Mm-hmm. He's mm-hmm. a filter. So, and even when I train coaches, train new counselors, I'm a big believer of people don't have to know your shit, but you need to know that you got shit.
Yeah.
It needs to be compartmentalized.
Yes.
So you can stand up before anybody, mm-hmm. you know, as if it's them over there and you got all access. Mm-hmm. That's the way black pastors have traditionally risen. So black pastors have, by default, discipled people unto them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to make you a disciple of me. Get mm-hmm. in the in crowd. Become an adjutant.
Wow.
You know, yeah. that's the goal. You know, the deaconess want her deacon husband, you know, to be the driver. Like, that's what you're shooting for.
Wow. Wow.
How and, dare you reduce God to that?
Wow. And so many do it and do not know it. And through this whole series, Kelly, Source has been really, really working with me on that whole discipleship thing. Mm-hmm. Because to your point, so many people disciple people to how you want them to live. Mm-hmm. Or however I'm living, I'm gonna make sure that I cater everything around what that looks like for me. For just so I can be comfortable.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. you may not even live like me, but because I want you, if you're coming to my church, I want you to be comfortable with how I'm living and where I am. So everything around is going to acclimate to me. It's not even about me.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be about me in a way. That's
because the beauty of Source to me is diversity.
Yes.
And differences.
Yes.
You go in nature, you see different trees, different plants, different flowers. It all works together.
Yes.
You know, and again, this American society, you know, and I go back to again, church being backed by white supremacy. If you want a homo sect, S-E-C-T, mm-hmm. sectarian mm-hmm. Environment, meaning you want everybody the same.
Yeah.
Well, the standard in America is a middle-class straight white male.
Yeah.
You're saying everybody should be like him, and then we're good. Impossible.
Impossible.
That's impossible.
That's impossible.
Impossible.
Yeah.
We should celebrate the differences and not tolerate them.
Yeah.
You know, but you celebrate them because in the celebration of it, that's where you get your blessing.
Yes.
That's really and truly where you get your blessing. And what's going on in the world, Raymond, not just church, mm-hmm. the chaos and madness in the world, it's a reflection of how people feel about themselves.
Wow.
On the inside.
On the inside.
People hate themselves.
Man.
They absolutely hate themselves. Mm-hmm. And my hypothesis would be because something happened and they had feelings and did not know how to manage them.
Wow.
Those wow. feelings grew so strong, mm-hmm. they turned into faulty beliefs, cognitive distortions, yes. lies.
Yes.
And those lies are what dictate us with a whole lot of supposed to or ought to or should mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. now you should be this. Mm-hmm. Or you ought to be doing this. And if I was you, I would do this. That's so again, I'm trying not to cuss, but that's the fuckery.
Well, no, you're good.
That's the fuckery.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the fuckery.
Yeah,
the
for real. Yeah.
And I'll, you know, say this too, you know, with the talks about the profanity and a couple of things, y'all. When I cuss, I feel close to my aunties. Ooh, Lord, my auntie would cuss you out for bed and never said she loved you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And also, it's my resistance. Mm-hmm. You know, I've mm-hmm. always been a good girl. Always been a good girl.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
still a good girl.
Yeah.
But cussing gives me, you know, my power. And again, you know, kids on the streets of Memphis taught me how to cuss. Yeah. So I honor them every time, because the Miss Kelly group used to cuss.
Listen, you can, because
trauma ain't cute.
No, it's not.
Trauma's not cute, it's messy.
It's not.
You know, it's messy. But the fuckery in the world that we see is a direct reflection of how people feel on the inside.
Yes.
They hate themselves inside.
Yes.
And they believe if people outside would straighten up, mm-hmm. they would feel better inside.
Wow.
Take it from a therapist that's doing her work.
Wow.
I helped a lot of people externally mm-hmm. and was only distracted from my own stuff.
Wow. So with that being said, dealing with your own stuff mm-hmm. it is so vital. It's so critical. It's so important. And I guarantee you, Kelly, if we dealt with our own stuff, our own shit, if you will, if we dealt with that, so many of our issues and so many things we see, it would subside, because I'm dealing with me. Because to your point, like, because a lot of people have so much hatred for themselves on the inside.
Yeah.
And so we think we're fighting it from the outside, but no, we're fighting from the inside.
And what we're battling with right now, I definitely want to say this, mm-hmm. is the difference between the hatred and the hatred.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And this is in my book, and this comes from the great Reverend Ike. Mm-hmm. And y'all can say what you want about Reverend Ike.
Yeah.
We slept on him for real.
Yeah.
We had been listening and applying the principles.
Reverend Ike.
Oh, yeah. I've been wealthy for real. Really, truly. The principles mm-hmm. that he's teaching metaphysically. But I woke up in my sleep when mm-hmm. I heard hatred.
Okay.
I just never had the language for it.
Yeah.
He explained it beautifully. That when it comes to forgiveness, for example, if we talk about church hurt, one would think, I hate the church for how they hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to forgive the church because I hate them so much.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Ike says, no, what you need to forgive is a hatred.
Wow.
Meaning I'm mad at me that I put myself in a position to be hurt by you.
Wow.
That's what I got to forgive.
Wow. Because
that's what I got to forgive.
Yes.
And we'll ask, well, why would they do that to me? No, the question is, how is it I still love them and long for them with the way they hurt me? That's what I gotta forgive.
Wow.
That I still want you and you know you're not doing for me.
Wow.
That's what I gotta forgive.
And wow, Kelly. When you look at it from that angle, like that. This is going to sound so crazy for me to say right now, but that sounds like relationship.
Yes.
So many of us, mm-hmm. like the way we're in our relationships,
mm-hmm.
and I call them ships, I tell my friends, I got a lot of ships. Right. When you're in your ships, church is a ship. That's a ship. And so many people, you started out saying this, spiritual bypass when they're in ships, because you know, you're in ships with people. You're in ships with humans. But you say, oh, well, God ain't told me such and such. I ain't heard from God, so I'm going to stay. Now, you thinking God wants you to be in certain situations. And no. Like you like that. You love it after a while, to your point. So I think that's good.
And I want to offer and add this. You
okay.
say relationship.
Okay.
But I would call it relationship.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, because... Mm-hmm. My woundedness causes me to believe shit about myself that's not true.
Gosh.
So when I'm doing life based on that, going to mm-hmm. connect with somebody, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. relationship should sail and take me somewhere.
Yes.
But when we're in our woundedness and we connect.
Yes.
I used to say, you know, when you got shit, you need to flush it.
Yeah.
I mean, because it becomes a relationship. I mean, mm-hmm. it does. And some people are comfortable. People are comfortable when they don't have to grow.
Gosh. Ooh. So if I sit around, I'm just playing a blame game all day.
Yeah.
I don't have to grow.
I don't have to grow.
Wow.
I don't have to grow. But which feels better, guilt or blame?
Wow.
You know, feels good to blame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's externally.
Mm-hmm.
But takes a lot of reflection to say I'm also guilty.
Yeah.
I'm guilty for the part I played in that.
Yes. Wow.
So which feels better, guilt or blame?
Wow.
The blame feels better, But go in and self-indict.
So I have to figure out my part.
Absolutely.
That I played in this hurt, I say.
With grace. Okay?
Yes.
Now, because when I apply that grace to me,
mm-hmm.
I can apply it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
The part that I played was for community.
Yes.
I like being in the presence of people.
Oh, God. You helping somebody right now.
I'm telling you. I didn't want to be by myself. Sometimes it felt good to talk about y'all over there.
Wow.
Because they liked it when we talked about, we built a whole relationship, she gossiping about folks.
Wow.
It felt good.
Ooh.
I thought that's what I wanted and needed. That's me self-indicting.
Wow.
Until now, I'm the one that's being talked about.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Wow.
But I'm showing grace to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what you thought you needed at the time, Kelly. Girl, I ain't mad at you.
Yeah. Wow. So even when you speak about, even in that, and centering the conversation to church, and when you say church help, and you say you learned, you got your moral compass from it. Can you speak to that for a minute, if you can?
Raymond, I absolutely can. When I got saved, showed up saved,
mm-hmm.
grew up coaching, and in my home church, one of those going to church every Sunday, on the altar every Sunday, Lord, give me a mind to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they taught us
to do
that. I'll never forget hearing, Lord, I'm available to you,
mm-hmm.
before I got saved, according to the church.
Uh-huh.
That song just resonated deeply.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm available to you. Remember thinking, I ain't saved yet because I like to go to the club.
Yeah.
But when I get saved, I'm going to be so available to mm-hmm. God, for real, for real.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get saved and you tell me about Jesus, I became Jesus.
Man.
I met that shit. I didn't care what they were preaching about, who was what.
Yeah, yeah.
You experienced Jesus through me.
Mm-hmm.
For real, for real. Mm-hmm. This is what Jesus would say to you. This is what mm-hmm. Jesus would
That's
do.
That's real. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see that at church, I opted to work at Lakeside on Sundays.
Wow.
On purpose.
Wow.
Because I'm becoming Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel love and compassion with me.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I got that from church.
Wow.
I didn't get that from anywhere else. I got that from church. And so true forgiveness, which we work at it every day, is when the only thing you remember is the love.
Mm.
Not what he said, she said, they said, not who did. When I look back, I only remember the love.
The love. Wow.
That's freedom.
Wow. And understand, y'all, that we make no mistakes about it. We want people to be able to move in freedom.
Yes. That's the only way to move.
It's only way.
Because if you're not moving in freedom, you are lying.
Yes.
You're a liar.
Yes. Yes.
When you're doing it so somebody else is pleased, mm-hmm. and that's not your truth, you're not telling the truth.
Ooh. Say that one more time for the people in the back.
If you're doing this to please somebody and that's not your truth, you're not telling the truth. You're lying. And God cannot heal a lie.
God cannot heal a lie.
You're prolonging your freedom.
Yes, yes.
You're prolonging
yes.
it. We are more afraid of people than we are of the Creator. I mean, when people, and this is what, when COVID hit, I knew as a trauma therapist we were in trouble. I was like, no, we ain't ready for this.
Wow.
Before COVID, Raymond, I had seen everything. Mm-hmm. Call me. Oh, Miss Kelly got it.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing I could do trauma-wise. And work with, you know, again, whole families with kids have died, murdered, raped. I could do all that. COVID, they dropped it like flies.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't ready for that.
It was hard. That was tough.
So I'm seeing the kids come in because mama died. They back again because grandma died too.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Kelly, I don't know what to do.
That was back to back, just back to back.
Oh, it was coming back.
Wow.
So me getting creative. Okay, my mother is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I'll never forget, made this group of a couple of little black girls. And mama died, little black girl, was probably gonna be a stud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And mama let her be who she was.
Mm-hmm.
The baby went to the grandma. Grandma put this old ragged ass wig on the baby.
Okay.
Gonna make her be a girl. Uh-huh. I mean, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The baby back in the hospital. You know, another suicide attempt. So it's figuring all of that out.
Mm-hmm.
And then my grandma died.
Yeah, grandma died.
COVID.
Wow.
This right. baby coming back looking for Miss Keller. Wouldn't mm-hmm. talk to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember going in, all the kids that have lost somebody to COVID come with me. That shit ain't never happened no trauma unit, right?
Ooh, I can't even imagine.
And these little chocolate kids is who I'm concerned about. That's already coming from poverty.
Yes.
I'm sitting there. I don't think I know. My mama died. I got it. Put a chair in the corner. Stood on the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Took the role as my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Had the chair there empty. And talked to me as my mother. Kelly doing a good job. Blah, blah, blah. And helped each of those kids get on top of that chair.
Wow. Wow.
What would she say to her baby right now?
Wow. Wow.
Gave the kids permission to scream at mom. One girl, I told you to wear a mask. I told you to wear a mask. That's all I know to do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go in and talk about you stressed out today. It don't work that way. The issue is right here in my face.
Wow.
That's all I know to do. Then I get to the adult unit. Same time, Lord, thank you for letting me share this. Same time. Black woman, she comes in, same thing, right? And you got two sisters and two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Her aunt, her mama died. And her first cousin died. Mm-hmm. Two sisters' kids.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. So her mama gone.
Mm-hmm.
The auntie done lost her daughter.
Yeah.
You come with Miss Keller for trauma. What is I gonna do?
What are you gonna do? What
am I going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
Because see, the rule was don't send anybody to Keller for trauma therapy if the trauma is active.
And this is just
because if it's active, mm-hmm. you need all your resources to survive it.
Yeah.
Trauma therapists are calming it down. This woman, she's tapping, and there's a time that I give you permission to get angry.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you want to be angry with God, I need you to get angry as we're processing this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She couldn't do that.
She couldn't do
that. I walk over to her ear. I said, I know they say God don't make mistakes, but he fucked this one up.
Mm-hmm.
He fucked this one up. This is what I'm saying to her.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, she's screaming. I'm giving her the word. And I forget what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving her the words, but I'm thinking, the world is not ready, but that's the level.
That's the modality
you're going to have to go through.
Yes, to meet
to them. To help people.
Yes.
Because this is where they are.
Yes, yes.
God. That ain't in no textbook.
No.
That's not in a textbook at all.
Wow.
So I'm going in to be around these people with my mask. And I got to go home and drain.
Yeah.
I don't know what, you know what's going on.
Right, right.
Wow.
Wow.
But it was my chance to be Jesus. I mean, that's who I was. I can honestly say, Raymond, there was never anybody I mistreated, you know,
mm-hmm.
from the staff to whomever I gave of myself. You know, I gave of myself. That's what church was supposed to be, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That moral compass I got from church. Church gave me Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the help I received, from that.
Yes.
I apply the principles. I believed it.
Yes.
Like I really and truly did, believe, and I still believe it.
Mm-hmm.
As I know it, I'll say again, the Bible is sacred to me, but it's no longer sovereign.
Yeah, because it's so like, and when I'm in hindsight now, when I look at the way. Like people have used that 66 book to kill so many people, literally,
right.
mentally.
Right.
They've used that book to destroy people. And so the way you look at it, like I honor the Bible, and the way you look at it, like you have to be mindful because people have used this thing to just as much as somebody have used it to draw you, somebody have used it to kill you.
Right.
Like that's the.
And remember, think about the way they were talked about. What the Bible say this? Mm-hmm. The Bible say that. Mm-hmm. Ain't no joy in that at all.
No.
Like, the Bible say.
No.
Like you're using it to weaponize.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not using it to edify. You're using it to weaponize.
Using it to weaponize. Yes. Yes. And so all of this. All of this, like it comes to, like, to for me, it sits it right in today in 2024 mm-hmm. with how we deal and how we deal with people,
right.
And it's so much about life management. Mm-hmm. If I'm not learning how to manage my, if all I'm doing is to learn how to show up to perform for. The humans that I'm around, I'm not learning life management.
You're not.
And so if I don't know what to do when I go home,
because you're living their life, you know, You're living their life. You're doing life for them.
And so Kelly, how can for someone watching this podcast, how can I move from this anger and hurt and vitriol mm-hmm. that I'm feeling on the inside about the institution of church? And move into like that level of healing, that level of freedom that I so want to desire, but I'm stuck.
Yeah, the gift of anger is passion.
Mm-hmm.
The impairment or denial of anger is depression.
Wow.
Most depressed people are extremely angry.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful to go along to get along if we don't honor the anger.
Yeah.
I like how Chip Dodd says that Jesus Christ, Mother Teresa, Dr. Martin Luther King were some of the angriest people that ever walked this earth.
Wow.
There were things they did not like.
Mm-hmm.
So they used their passion to change it.
Mm-hmm.
The anger should be a catalyst
mm-hmm.
to what I'm going to do next.
Yes. Yes.
If you're still in a church environment, any toxic environment,
mm-hmm.
you gotta get mad enough to leave. That's the first mm-hmm. thing. Because under the anger, really and truly, becomes those emotions that we really don't like. The fear,
yes.
the grief,
yes.
the sadness, the things that make us feel weak. Mm-hmm. But that's where God meets you.
Gosh. Yes.
You never know the love of God. You cannot fully experience the love of God except for through brokenness.
Wow. Ever. Yeah.
You cannot. And the way God meets the need of the brokenness is through people.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you need from God is to have a need. God meets the need through people. But we have to be wise enough to be broken mm-hmm. amongst safe people who are a lot of times strangers.
Gosh. Wow.
A lot of times, stuff you ain't never seen or done before.
Mm-hmm.
When I would do trauma work in Lakeside, you would have to work with a partner the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So people would, I don't want to talk to no stranger. And I'd be like, shit, you can talk to your family. How long about this? You get what I'm saying? And again, they would bond.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the safety in it.
Wow.
It's being safe enough to become broken. Now, sometimes I got to pay a therapist for that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I got to pay somebody to get to my vulnerability. And most people that I have worked with, the healthier they got, the more they did step away from toxic environments like church.
Wow.
You know, it's where is your willingness? The willingness to do so. And even if you're not willing, are you willing to be willing? Because you're either in willingness or you are in woundedness. Mm-hmm. Whatever you are not changing, you are choosing. And when we don't choose to act on the anger,
mm-hmm.
then there's a benefit to staying to where we are.
This is good. This is really, really good, Kelly. So if I'm angry, and if I'm angry because I know I'm not being treated fair or right, and I don't allow myself to feel that, but I just kind of, you know, push it to the side and just keep trucking, that's really not benefiting me.
It's not at all.
It's not benefiting me. And so what I hear you saying is, I have to allow myself to feel those feelings. Because what am I really feeling?
Anger means something has been taken from me. So if you're angry, who took something from you?
Mm-hmm.
It was taken from me.
Wow.
Now the other part of that anger is, a lot of people that are angry is, I didn't get my way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I have to look at what was taken. And I can't always get my way, whatever that is. But I don't need to get pissed off at myself for desiring it. See, that's what we do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we have legitimate needs.
Mm-hmm.
We just try to get them met in illegitimate ways. Like through a church or a job where there are broken people. You can't get your need met there.
No.
But don't beat yourself up because you got the need.
Right.
The need is legitimate.
The need is legit.
Unmet needs don't go away.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't go away. Don't. And people say you can't miss what you never had. That's a lie.
Yeah. You're going to miss the hell out of it.
You never had a mom and daddy? You're going to miss it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But don't get mad at yourself because you desire it. Mm-hmm. You just got to change up the way you go about trying to get it met. And if you constantly going to, again, right now, think about people that will still sit under that. And this ain't judgment. I'm just stating fact.
Yeah.
If you go on every Sunday and Wednesday and listen to you filthy rags, and you ain't nothing, and you got, what do you think that's doing, first of all, to your nervous system?
Wow.
What do you think that's doing? Then you get you a good shout, and then do what? And go to what really make you feel good, then beat yourself up over that. Just stay over there with what really make you feel good. Put yourself through all of that.
Mm-hmm. God, this is helping somebody. For real.
I mean, be your own guy.
Yes.
Real talk, be your own guy.
Woo. Wow.
It's, I think it's do something with your anger and just realize people, now here's the other part that ain't got nothing to do with church. And I just got to keep it real. Y'all, don't nobody owe you nothing.
Nobody owe you nothing.
And so the victimhood, if we talk about, this is clinical a little bit, Karpman's drama triangle. There are three parts of the triangle: the persecutor, the rescuer, and the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let me put this back in the church framework.
Okay.
Let's say in church, the pastor would be the persecutor.
Okay.
He's the one that's after you.
Okay.
The church mother might be the rescuer, trying to say, well, baby, that's just him. He's going to take care of you.
Oh, wow.
But you stay in victim mode, though.
Wow. I see it.
So, you know, perhaps somebody going to do you wrong. Somebody going to rescue you. But you the victim, you don't have to do anything.
And I'm comfortable right there.
And you're comfortable. Mode. But the healthy part of that, the healthy part of that, is the persecutor turns into the challenger. I want to challenge you.
Mm-hmm.
The rescuer don't come and rescue you. They want to coach you to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
The victim turns into the creator.
Yes.
How do I create my way out of this? Like what you're doing now, Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
You're creating your way. I'm creating my way.
Mm-hmm.
I can indict the church all day long and indict me.
Yeah.
But that's wasted energy.
Yes.
I'm creating my way to something different.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's... And again, when COVID hit, I remember saying to parents, let them kids draw in art. I don't give a damn about school right now. It's the creativity that's going to flow. That's what's going to get us through.
Yes. And to your point, I can remember when I was doing my work, when we was going through the program, and I can remember like feeling so much anger on the inside about time that I missed and time that I missed living. I really didn't start living until I was 30 and 35. Yeah. Like I really didn't. So I felt all that anger come up, but now I'm moving to spaces of gratitude, you know, and I've moved to let that be what it was. And I'm grateful, to your point you made a little while ago, for the love that I received.
Yeah.
For the morality that I received.
Absolutely.
And I'm moving in that healing now.
Yes, right.
And I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
I remember your drama, Raymond, the work. And I know now, this just came up for me in this moment. I know I was thinking it. I'm not sure if I said it out loud. But a lot of your work was, and I, it's very few people I've said this to, mm-hmm. that we're going to confront your adversary and demand your gifts. We went back to your adversary and we took your gift, you know, from that.
I remember.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way your body, your whole body was vibrating.
Yes.
You know? It was, and so people would wonder, you know, why you got to be so forceful, loud, and mean? I'm thinking, this is war. I take people back to the, there'll be no women to go back there with them.
Yeah.
You know, so like, we going together, but it's, if you're going to confront your adversary, demand your gift.
Yes.
Demand your gift.
That day, and I know we didn't even plan to talk about this together, but that day when I went through that, I felt all of that. Felt that. And I was nervous, but I was mad as hell. But I was, and that was a deliverance like I have never experienced before in my life. Mm-hmm. Because I haven't been the same since that day. Yeah. Since that day. And I can remember we had a Heaven Inspired Me in session, and you told me I shouldn't have let you go. Because I went, because we like, it was a group of men sitting at the shop waiting to get in, but y'all went, that was just such a impactful moment for my life. And I thank you. I thank you for walking me through that, Kelly. That was a lot. And I went through that with my peers, you know, and that was great. That was needed. It was needed.
I did get somebody texting me and asking me if I was you know, still doing coaching, the program. And right now I'm not. But I would love to. It's really what I love to do. And you know, right now maybe we can, you know, talk about that. You know, mm-hmm. just getting to people. I really don't mind taking them through, you know, and looking and seeing what it looks like. Yeah. I got to get a little bit more settled first.
Yeah.
But again, I would love to be able to offer that to people, because I know you're not going to be the same after doing that work. I know, because you're facing the very thing you've been afraid to face the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then you look at how beautifully amazing you are.
Yes.
You go on this. It's almost like, I'm so wonderful, I want to fall at my own feet.
Yes.
You go into this massive self-love, you know, for you. People used to say sometimes, and just, you know, I love people, I don't even love myself. I used to say, well, keep that shit over there.
And keep it
over there. I want the love you got for me, and you don't even love you. You don't even trust it. Wow. And we think we're saying something. I do for other people what I won't do for me.
Wow.
That's false humility.
Wow. Wow.
That's not real. You know, you're doing. Sometimes we do it because we want to be seen. We do it because we want something back. You just don't be honest about what you're doing it for.
Just say it.
I don't want anything back. I don't do anything out of goodness of my heart. With the camera, I ain't that good, y'all.
Yeah.
I don't do anything out of goodness of my heart. If I do something good for you, I always want something back.
Yes.
If I just want you to appreciate me, I want something back.
Yes. Yes.
If I want you to better yourself with it, I want something back. Mm-hmm. Not something tangible.
Yeah.
Why do I want it back? Because I value me.
Yes.
I like me when I'm being good to people. That's the best part of me.
And that is where when you move away from all of the anger and the hurt and mad, like finding value in you, learning how to do that. I can remember when I first went through what I went through doing the work, and I saw a post online. It was so funny. I think one of the gospel artists, he's a big gospel artist. I ain't want to call names on here, but he shared this post. And it was a guy saying, you know, we've just moved far away from God. We are all filthy rags. We are dirty. We are worthless. And I was like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No. And so I wrote on that. And I was like, no, I'm not. I can love God and I can feel good about myself.
Exactly.
I can love God and I can believe that I can do all things through.
Right.
Kelly, people, it was inboxing me 1, 2, 3, 4, I get more mad at me. They were mad at me. And I was going to delete it, but I said, no, I'm just going to let it sit. But that, and when you said that to me, that just shows how just the indoctrination of it all is built in. And it's some fucked up people out here.
Absolutely.
Like we are really, really messed up, Kelly.
We
messed up out here. And so it's so important. Your self-awareness and whatever you're thinking and believing about yourself, y'all, that's what's gonna stick.
That's what I'm saying. Because then you're gonna behave it, you know, mm-hmm. and you don't think you're worth any more than that. And so even when the good comes, you're gonna repel that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you make it very hard for people to love you. Mm-hmm. You become unlovable because you don't trust it, because your tape is you're unworthy, you ain't shit. And again, when you go, church should edify, and it should be a place of hope.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's a place of harm, mm-hmm. and you value it,
mm-hmm.
you embody that, and then you attract you attract the same thing.
Yeah.
A lot of our parents, the parenting style came from church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Black parents believe that if they put you down, then you're gonna work harder to be better or different.
Wow.
That's their way of, you know, of loving you.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that if we put ourselves down, that we'll work harder to be better. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
I've started saying, Raymond, and I want to put this in practice, that when people compliment me, you mm-hmm. know, like you said, you know, she's a beautiful woman. I want to say thank you. Now give me three compliments about you.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Does it make sense?
Wow. Yes. Wow. I love that. Actually, I love that.
I mean, let's stay in that, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Let's stay in that vein. I saw a young lady, and I've dropped the stories, was on her phone,
mm-hmm.
saw me in Walmart. Girl, the trauma lady is in here, you know, and put me on FaceTime and told me she got her kids back and all mm-hmm. that. And I said, I really needed this from you today.
Wow.
She said, I compliment. I said, sweetheart, you have no idea. I needed this today. So even when people compliment me, thank you, I needed to hear that today.
Yes. Yes.
That's your first sign if I fucked up you are if you mm-hmm. can't take a compliment.
And that's something with a lot of my confidence coaching that I've done. I ask people, how often do you accept compliments? People right. be like, nah, I don't. Like, no. Like, and a lot of people don't. They do not. If somebody tell you something nice about yourself, you be like, oh, nah, that's you. And as men, it's not almost. It's like a colloquialism. It's like, you see somebody, what's up, man? Oh, nah, you got it. Nah, you got it, bro. Right. Nah, you got it. Yeah. And we just come yeah. and throw right. it back. But we don't yeah. want it. Right. We don't want to say, I got it. Yeah. Or we'll say, all right, stand out the way, bro. Just stand out the way. So we got a whole world of right. men, black men in particular. And I've asked questions. Why do all of us want to stay out the way? If none of us get in the way, how will we inject change in society?
It's epigenetic.
Yes.
Dr. Joy DeGruy, the founder of post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Wow.
And I do, Raymond, want to explain this mm-hmm. to us. In her book, she talks about, she tells a true story. Her son, a little black boy, wanted to play with a neighbor across the street. And the neighbor was looking at, said to her son, What you looking at? So Dr. DeGruy says she goes outside to say, maybe he's looking at your beautiful hair. Maybe he's looking at,
wow.
maybe he wants you to play the video game. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's what he's looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she had just come back from Africa
okay.
to where black men would say, hey, I see you.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Black American men, what you looking at?
Yeah, that's what you looking at? And you looking
I'm
at?
A piece of yeah. junk, you, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed in Africa, our origin, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to be looked at because of how we see ourselves. So the post-traumatic slave syndrome goes back into slavery that, yeah. you know, as a slave, me and Caleb are in the field, the master walks by, it's a fine-looking boy. I'm going to say, no, you know, he's stupid, he's lazy,
mm-hmm.
to protect
to
him.
To protect him. Wow.
I'm going to put him down.
Wow.
Fast forward to 2024.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about being on the soccer field. My Caleb is out there. A white woman got her Caleb out there too. Caleb with a C. And I'm saying, Caleb, he's been practicing. He looks good. White woman says to me, but your Caleb is the best on the team. He's doing wonderful. I respond and say, he's so hard-headed, girl, he get on my nerves.
Ooh, God. Oh, that sounds so familiar with so many mothers.
And I'm proud of now as I say that
as
to
you
the
say
white
that,
woman.
As you, yeah.
My boy gets me home, according to Dr. DeGruy, and said, Mama, why can't you just be proud of me? White woman go home and say, you're trying to compliment them, they're just so negative.
Wow.
Post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Wow.
We're going to put each other down. They wow. came back from slavery. We don't need that protection anymore, dog.
Wow. Wow.
We have to watch what we say.
Yes. Yes.
We have to watch. We have to watch what it is that we say, especially over our children.
Yes.
Especially over our children. And you know, Raymond, growing up, you know, I grew up with first cousins in the household. And I can honestly say life was spoke over me. Mm-hmm. Kelly's smart. She's going to be... Kelly's smart. Kelly's mm-hmm. gonna be a doctor. She's smart. Mm-hmm. Spoken up with me. But I'm gonna have the same first cousin. That nigga ain't gonna be shit.
Wow.
He ain't gonna be shit. He's gonna be just like so-and-so dog. And that's exactly what happened. Two different things spoken over us.
And as you say this, I'm thinking about, you know, the statement that you've made, and you made it definitively clear, we will never fully heal on this side. And just think about all of the stuff, Kelly, all the stuff that we as a people mm-hmm. Have had to endure and deal with, like we'll never fully heal. But and that's why I know that your black whale right. theory is anointed for this.
Absolutely.
It's because we need that. We right. need to be able to live well. We need to be able to, and even now when people greet me, I say I'm well, because everything is not perfect.
Right.
I'm
right.
well. Right. I'm mentally well. Mm-hmm. I'm physically well. Mm-hmm. And I'm well. And so just that there is, I cannot wait, y'all. But this yeah. is a jewel. She's a jewel to me. And I'm just so thankful to have her. And this is my season finale. Mm-hmm. This is my season finale, and I feel so good. And I feel a feeling of peace right now.
Yeah,
that is just like, yeah, Raymond, you can chill, mm-hmm. you can breathe, and just I'm gonna admit this on this episode. I've done a lot this year, Kelly, mm-hmm. a whole lot. Now I shared a little bit with you before we press record, but it's. I need rest.
Absolutely.
Yes, right. But I feel a peace when you tell Raymond, seed has been planted.
It's planted, Raymond.
It's been planted.
And wellness, when you walk in wellness, wellness is enough. Okay? And enough is not an amount, it's a decision. I'm deciding to rest because it's enough. It's
Whoa.
Enough. Wellness is enough. It's sufficient. It's satisfying.
Yes.
One thing I want us to get rid of is boss and boss bitch and this. You know.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. Yeah.
Let's just be enough.
Be enough.
I got to be just enough.
That's enough.
Enough.
Wow. Wow.
You know, it's yeah.
I love it. So Kelly, if you could say whatever, it ain't have to do with anything to do with this topic that we're closing out on, but just something you want the bridgers to walk away, who's continuing to try to bridge with people that they don't understand, or trying to bridge with parts of the community that they have not been willing to prior to. If there's anything you can speak to that as we leave 2024 going into 25, if there's anything you can say, or you could speak to the bridgers who was watching and have really tried to see life from somebody else's lens this right. year, what would you say?
Yeah, I think I would say to remain curious, not even hopeful, because hope mm-hmm. is so heavy. Hope can mm-hmm. hurt, but curiosity is, I'm gonna move slowly and let's just see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just see. It, you know, a joyous curiosity and put your faith to the test.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, real talk. God, if you're real, if this is real, you know, then show me. And the last thing I will say is be who it is that you want.
Wow.
Would you want you as a partner or a mate? Would you want you as a child? Would you want you as a parent?
You messed me up the other day when I saw you.
Yeah.
Would you want you?
Yeah. I can say for the most part, I know I want me as a partner and a friend. Well, as a friend and a parent. I don't know about a partner. You know, I don't know. You know, pray for me. You know, I do want a partner, but yeah. I got stuff that I gotta work on. You know, compromising work both ways.
Yeah.
But you got to be a hell of a person for me to compromise, because this is the best I've ever been in my life.
Yes.
And I ain't met nobody yet that I'm willing to.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, be kind to yourself. You know, be kind.
That. I love that.
Be kind.
I love that. And y'all, that is a wrap. I think I'm 22 episodes in, Kelly. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I did not know that we would be closing this out. I did not know that this would be this way, but I know Source Creator,
right.
God has, you know, constructed everything the way it is. And I'm so thankful that we are here in this moment. Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah,
thank you, the watchers. If you have anything coming up, anything you want to...
You know, I don't have anything coming up, but if you guys, I like engaging in the comments, so mm-hmm. I certainly don't mind, you know, responding. I was going to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
But whatever I have coming up, I'll let you know. Yes. I'm tired, too.
Yeah.
I'm still in a place of red. When I look back over what I used to do, I get tired all over again.
Mm-hmm.
and now I rest without guilt.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I'm learning how to do that.
Yes. Thank you. Thank y'all so much for watching. Thank you so much for sticking. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Ray Bridging Hermans. It's the place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see it. I'll see y'all again with the episode. It'll be about maybe end of February. So thank y'all so much for watching. And see y'all soon. Love you, family. Peace.
Bye, y'all.